Brothers and sisters, in recent years it has become a matter of key interest to me to discover the links in the gospel records as I try to pursue the order of events as they happened in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. So this morning I want to find exhortation from what led to the beloved physician giving this record in Luke 5, and then to finish with looking at the first event in that chapter. Straight after the Lord's temptations in the wilderness, five men became disciples, and John in chapter 1 of his gospel records that. When Jesus heads north to Galilee, those five accompany him. And you'll remember they are Andrew, John, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael. And in Cana, they're all guests at a wedding, and they witness Jesus turning the water into wine. And after this, John records in chapter 2, he went down to Capernaum together with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they stayed there only a few days. Next, the Lord goes up to Jerusalem for Passover, and he goes via Cana. And these five men are with him. And you'll remember that in the temple they witnessed the overturning of the money changers' tables. They watched as he did other signs. They saw how many believed. There was the interview with Nicodemus. Another visit to the Judean countryside, seemingly to have further discussions with John the Baptist. They themselves, these five, become active, baptizing alongside John, to the consternation of John's disciples, you'll remember. They return to Galilee via Samaria, those discussions with the woman at the well. Those disciples are still with him. And then in yesterday's reading in Luke, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being acclaimed by everyone. And now they leave him, so that Jesus is alone. And when he went to Nazareth and stood up to read, seemingly he is alone. They're not with him. When he again goes up to Jerusalem for an unknown, unmentioned feast, probably tabernacles, there is no mention of disciples with him. As well as attending the feast, there is the healing of the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, and John 5 records that. Seemingly, Jesus is alone for many weeks. Why this unexplained absence? Where had the five gone? Why had they left him? The Lord returns to Galilee, and Matthew takes up the record. As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. And it reads almost as if this is the first time the Lord Jesus met them. But of course we know that it wasn't. They were well known to him already. So whatever the reason for them having left him, he knew where to find them. I think the inference is they've gone back to work their businesses. And 20 centuries later, you and I can readily understand that. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for men. I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. What do you mean, I'll make you fishers of men? I think Peter took it to mean that following him, they would become fishermen second to none. Olympic class, if you like. Productive fishermen. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat with and their father and followed him. So James is now added. The five are now six. Seemingly. Although there is no mention of Philip and Nathanael again until after the night of prayer when the Lord appoints 12 to be with him. So perhaps now there are four. The four are now with him. As Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria, way to the north. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds follow him, from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, way to the south, and beyond Jordan. There follows that amazing day when, to get away from the crowds, to be able to speak to these men, these four, or maybe six, the Lord led them up the Mount of Beatitudes, sat down and spoke to them for hours. And that's the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew has in chapters 5, 6 and 7. And when Jesus had finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, Matthew records. So even though he tried to get away, they knew where he'd gone, and they followed him there. There follows a number of healings. The healing of a leper, the centurion's servant. In the synagogue, the man with an unclean demonic spirit. Peter's wife's mother. And Luke says in the end of chapter 4, verse 40, when the sun was set, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him. And as he laid his hands on each one of them, he healed them. And again the next day, to get away from the crowds, with these four, Jesus crosses the lake, heading for Gadara, on the southeastern side of Lake Galilee. There is a seismic storm that the Lord stills, and they're with him. They witness the healing of two Gadarene demoniacs. And then the Lord got into a boat and returned to Capernaum, Matthew says in chapter 9. Are the disciples with him? Or did they return on foot to take up their fishing? More teaching and healing around the synagogues of Galilee follows. And seemingly, the Lord is without these four men. Were they discouraged by the rejection of the Gadarenes, who lost so many pigs and their businesses had been disrupted? Did they simply need to get back to their business affairs? Or was it the constant itinerant lifestyle? Nowhere to lay their heads. Peter had a wife and a home. We don't know. Weeks went by again, another period of absence. And so we come to Luke chapter 5 and what we've just read together. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. We have to take in the scene, don't we? The jostling crowds on the shore side of them, their pressing demands, sick ones needing healing. But they wanted to listen to God's word. Two boats, the two pairs of brothers, these four, are now in partnership. It was not like that before. This time they're cleaning their nets, and we learn why. They'd been out all night fishing and had not caught one fish. And this is the third time Jesus finds them. And he got into Simon's boat, and it became a platform to separate him from the jostling crowds, to be able to speak to them. And when he finished speaking, verse 4 says, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your net for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. As if to say, you're a carpenter. I'm the fisherman, leave the fishing to me. We toiled all night. Now there are no birds circling to indicate that there are any fish. Anyway, we're tired. You know what it's like after you've been up all night? Clearly, he has grounds for his reluctance. But the boat is positioned in deep water. Albeit reluctantly, they do as he said. And verse 6, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. And we can picture them trying to, between the four of them, manage to keep those nets from breaking, to bring in every fish they possibly could to the land. It made business sense to do that. And it was an unbelievable haul. And wouldn't the Lord's words that he previously said resound in their minds? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. They called Jesus Lord. And Peter throws himself down at the knees of Jesus in the boat. And it marks a turning point in Peter's life as disciple. These men wouldn't be leaving the Lord again. Don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. From now on, you will be catching men. You'll be taking alive people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. They forsook all, is the language. Possibly even the catch. They left it behind. And it's the word used for forgiveness when it says they forsook all. Forgiveness is when our sins are sent away. These men who had been so busy bringing in a living . We're so very like them, brothers and sisters, aren't we? We come and we go in our discipleship. And now with Peter there is this intense feeling of unworthiness as he throws himself down before his Lord. It took this third call from the Lord to get to this moment of realization as he fell on his face at Jesus' knees. I'm not fit to be in your presence. I think he must have looked back on his following thus far, disappointed in having forsaken his Lord twice already. They were experiences he would rather hadn't happened. But that's the way it was. Also, it was the way that spiritual growth came. Don't be afraid, Jesus told his son. Like Peter, our lives of discipleship to date have been fraught with experiences we would rather hadn't happened. But they have, like COVID-19. We've failed the Lord so many times. Don't be afraid. Still, the Lord persists with us if we fall at his feet in confession. For out of those failings there comes spiritual growth, because the Lord forgives absolutely. He continues to lead us gently. I wanted to bring the hymn book in conclusion, and here we go, thank you very much. We sometimes sing hymn number 203, brothers and sisters. From Fisher's Net, from Fig Tree's Shade, thinking of Nathaniel, one of those original five. God gathers whom he will, touched by his grace. Such men are made his purpose to fulfill. So Matthew left his golden gains to heed the master's call. Matthew, of course, comes towards the end of chapter 5. I was going to bring him in as well, but he becomes disciple number 7. But we'll leave him for another time. His soul, the love of Christ, constrains through faith to give up all. Oh, grant us grace, as to thy call we faithful strive to be, and cheerfully forsaking all may follow only thee.